which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So I want you to notice, first of all, the book of Galatians was written to the churches of Galatia. Most of the letters that we've written so far, the letters or the epistles of Paul, were written to a certain church or an individual church in a certain city. The land of Galatia was actually more than a city, it was a whole area. There were several cities found within that area of Galatia. And so that area of Galatia, there were several churches that probably had been started by Paul, maybe in his first missionary journey. We do know this, that Paul at least traveled through Galatia on at least two separate occasions that he went through the area of Galatia. And so now he's writing back to these churches. Look in Acts chapter 20, and look then again a little bit at the background concerning this writing to the city, or to the churches, in the province and area of Galatia. Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, Paul had just left Ephesus. And then in verse, of course, Ephesus, the city to which he wrote the book of Ephesians to, he had just left that city of Ephesus. In verse 1 of chapter 20 it says, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia." If you remember with me, when he was in the city of Ephesus, he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. So he wrote that book from the city of Ephesus. Of course, he had already traveled through Corinth prior to that. But while he was in Ephesus, he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. And then when he was in Macedonia, we see he writes now, from Macedonia, he writes the book of 2 Corinthians. Macedonia was the northern part of Greece, north of Corinth there, and it was probably from the city of Philippi, there in Macedonia, that they wrote the book of 2 Corinthians. Now look in verse 2. "And when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece." Macedonia is the northern part of what we know as now as Greece, and Greece is the southern part of what we know today as Greece. In this southern part was the city of Corinth. And so he left Macedonia, Philippi, and those cities up in that area, went down to the southern part of Greece, and down in that part was the city of Corinth. So now he was in the city of Corinth, there in Greece, in Acts chapter 20, verse 2. Here in Corinth, he writes the book to the churches in Galatia. So it's while he was in Ephesus, he wrote 1 Corinthians. While he was in Macedonia or Philippi, he wrote 2 Corinthians. Now he travels down to Corinth and writes from Corinth. He writes the book of Galatians. Also, we've already studied this, while he was there in the city of Corinth, he also wrote the book of Romans. He wrote Galatians, then Romans, while there in Corinth. And we welcome our new adults here today. Today is promotion Sunday, and none of you get promoted. The rest of you got to stay here, okay? We promoted our teenagers today, and so we've added a few to our class this morning. So young people in here, we're studying the books of the Bible. If you have a pen with you, here's where we let you write in here. Well, you're grown up now. You get to write, but you write what I say, okay? And don't be writing to each other. Write what I say. And so from the city of Corinth, he wrote to the Galatians, to the churches of Galatia. All right, let's look back in Galatians chapter 1 again. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 2, it said that he wrote to the churches of Galatia. "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Look over in Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, look in verse 11. It says, "I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." Basically, here's what Paul was saying. He said, "Now I've come unto you. The first time I came unto you, I preached the gospel unto you." Basically what he's saying is, "I've been there more than one time, but you remember at the first when I came to you, what I preached unto you, and I preached the gospel unto you." Hold your finger in Galatians chapter 4. We'll be back there in just a minute. And look back to Acts chapter 16. So prior to his writing this, in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, this is on his second missionary journey. In Acts chapter 20, we see him on his third missionary journey. But Acts chapter 16, look in verse 6. It says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." Phrygia is an area just south of Galatia on our map. And so he went in through Phrygia and also through Galatia in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. This is the first recorded time that we see the name Galatia mentioned. And then look in Acts chapter 18, verse 23. It says, after he had spent some time there, he departed. Look at verse 22. "And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch." He always began his missionary journeys from Antioch. So he began now his third missionary journey. Verse 23. "And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples." So again, he begins his third missionary journey by going up to this area of Galatia again. Because this was just north of the area of Judea, so he'd travel through there as he goes into Macedonia and Greece and those areas. So at least these two times he went through the area of Galatia. Okay, back in Galatians chapter 4 again, verse 14. "And my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Paul was saying, remember the first time I came to you. The first time I came to you, remember how receptive you were to the gospel. I came and preached to you. I preached the truth unto you, and you were receptive to me. He said, even though I had this infirmity in the flesh, many believed that he had an eye problem, and he could not see well, and his eyes many times would water and pus, and it was not always good to look upon. And he said, when I came and preached to you, because of my infirmity in the flesh, he said, you received me. You did everything I preached to you, you received it. You took it, and as a matter of fact, you received me so well that had it been possible, you would have taken your own eyes out and have given them to me, that I may have had good sight, that my eye problem would have been taken care of. He said, you received me so well that you are willing to give your eyes up that I might have sight. So you see, these churches in Galatia well received the truth and well received Paul and the gospel that he preached. But something had happened there in the churches of Galatia since Paul had been through there the first time. Paul had come through. Paul preached the simple gospel and the truth of the gospel. And he preached to them how Jesus Christ came to die for them, and that if they would put their trust in him as their personal Savior, that God would save them. And they received it. And many were saved there in that region, in that province of Galatia. And churches sprung up there in that area after hearing the truth and the gospel. "Now," he says, "I've received reports back from you that the simple truth that I preached to you and the gospel that I preached to you, another group has come in and has changed that gospel." And he said, "Am I become your enemy because I preach the truth to you?" Now, they may have come through and preached something that seemed more palatable to you, something that you enjoyed hearing a little better, something that you also received. But don't forget the truth that I preached to you. Remember when I came and preached the truth, how well you received that truth. You would have given your own eyes to me if it were possible. And yet now another group has come in, and they've perverted the gospel. And that's basically what he's saying. Remember the truth that I preached to you when I came and preached. Remember that truth. So we see then, he preached twice there, at least twice he went, before he had written this letter. And his message had been well received by the Galatians. But after Paul left, the Galatian Christians were influenced by some Judaizers. Look in Galatians chapter 2. I'll explain what a Judaizer is in Galatians chapter 2. Look in verse 12. It says, "For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision." And here he is talking about Peter, and he was saying, Peter, before some of these Judaizers came along, Peter used to sit down with the Gentile Christians and eat with them. And then after the Judaizers started getting on his case, Peter quit getting... This is the same Peter of Pentecost, the disciple Peter. And he said, after these Judaizers came along and said, "What are you doing sitting down with these Gentiles? You're an apostle to the Jews." And Peter quit eating with the Gentiles and began to eat with the Jews again. And what had happened is they began to bring some of the Jewish ritual back into their religion again. Now they were saved from the law, and they were saved by grace. By the way, every one of us are under the law before we get saved, and the curse of the law, which is death. When we get saved, we become under grace. You didn't become under grace back when Jesus died. You became under grace when you got saved. And when you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, you became under grace at that time. And Paul says in the last part of Galatians, he says, you've fallen from grace. You know what he was saying there? He didn't say you became unsaved. He's saying you've gone back to the same way you had before you got saved. Won't you, since you've been saved by grace, live by grace also? You don't need to add the rituals back to your religion again, because it's not the ritual that got you saved. It was trusting Jesus Christ that got you saved. The Judaizers, what they had done, they had added legalism to grace. And they had taken the grace that they had been saved by and now added to that grace legalism. And that's what we see in the book of Galatians. We see Paul is preaching against these Judaizers, or these legalists, that had crept into the church. And they had taken the laws, the Old Testament law, not actually the Old Testament law, but the traditions of the Jews. They had taken the traditions that the Jews had lived under and had added that to the grace by which they were saved. And they begin now, they had their holy days, and they begin to have calling men father. They did all kinds of ritual that they had added that was not according to the Word of God and not according to the grace that we received when we got saved. Beware of legalism. Legalism, and that's basically what he's teaching here. Beware of legalism. He tells you basically what legalism is. Legalism is anything that you add to the grace of God. Anything that you add to the grace of God. For instance, this would be legalism. If we said for you to go to heaven, you had to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and get baptized, that's legalism. If we said in order for you to go to heaven, you had to trust Jesus Christ your Savior and join this church, that's legalism. If we said in order for you to get to heaven, you had to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and dress a certain way to get to heaven, that's legalism. Now the Bible teaches there's a certain way to live, but you can't live that way to get to heaven. Bible says you ought to be baptized, but getting baptized can't get you to heaven. Now you read through this Bible, and this Bible will teach you how to live, but living according to this Bible won't get you to heaven. Unless you've done it perfectly, and nobody ever has, and it's too late for you. Nobody can live according to this Bible perfectly. Nobody can. Now, if we say, I'm living, by the way, all legalism is simply a religion by works. That's all legalism is. A person says, I'm going to heaven because I've always lived a good life. That's legalism. Now let me show you what it says in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Now don't get me wrong, the Judaizers were for faith in Christ. They were for that. They believed in that, but they didn't believe it was enough to get you to heaven. That's what you need. Most people, most legalists, believe in Jesus Christ, but they add to that their church membership, or their baptism, or living a good life, or sacraments, or communion. They add something to it and say, if you don't do this, you're not going to heaven. No, the only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ, and that's it. Notice what Paul said. And here was his main fear, main exhortation to them in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now here's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, when I came, I preached the gospel unto you, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that if you would put your trust in Jesus as your Savior, God would save you. That's the gospel I preached unto you, and that's the gospel you received, and that's the gospel by which you were saved. That's what he said. You got saved by that gospel right there. And Paul said, if I come to you and preach anything other than that, or if an angel from heaven come to you and preach anything other than that, or if anybody at all comes to you and preaches to you anything other than that, he said, let that person be accursed. Now that's good. That sounds simple in our language. That's the word in the Greek, the word anathema. You know what that word anathema means? The word anathema means to be damned to hell forever. That's what he's saying there. He said, if anybody comes to you, and if anybody preaches any other gospel than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I don't care what it is. If they say you've got to speak in tongues to go to heaven, let that person be accursed, he said. That's not what I said, that's what Paul said. If that person comes to you and says you've got to be baptized to get to heaven, let that person be accursed. That's another gospel. Somebody comes to you and says you've got to live a good life to get to heaven, let that person be accursed. That's another gospel. Now I preach, live a good life, because you're going to heaven. Get baptized, because you're going to heaven. Obey this book, because you're going to heaven. Go to church, because you're going to heaven. And to read your Bible, because you're going to heaven. Do those things because you've been saved by grace. But none of those things can get you saved. Nothing that you add to your salvation by grace is going to gain favor with God. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. Don't you come to God one day with your righteousness and say, God bless me because of my righteousness. God's going to look down at you and say, what do you think you're going to get for filthy rags? How much you can get for that? We're not going to go to God because of our righteousness or get anything from God because of our righteousness. It's by God's grace. And Paul said, I preached the simple truth of the gospel to you. And now another group has come in. The Judaizers have come in. And isn't it something how the religions will prey upon the new converts? Isn't that something? They'll find somebody that wants to follow God. They won't go and win a convert. They'll go find somebody that's been won and then pervert the gospel. They'll grab a new convert and say, here, we've got a better way. By the way, there is no better way than this way right here. If you got this book right here, that's all you need. All you need is the truth of the gospel. It's all you need. And religions will come and find out somebody's got religion, and they'll grab them up and say, we got a better way. No, you just need the truth. Just need the Bible, the truth of the gospel. And Paul said, if I come to you and preach another gospel, if I do it, he said, let me be accursed. Or if an angel from heaven came down and preached another gospel, let him be accursed. And Paul meant it so much, he said it twice. In verse 9, he said again, and as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul was preaching against legalism, the legalism of the Judaizers. And legalism is adding anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ for your salvation. Living a good life to get to heaven is legalism. Getting baptized to get to heaven is legalism. Going to church to get to heaven is legalism. And Paul said, let that gospel. By the way, there's a lot of gospels being preached today. A lot of them being preached. We got gospels being preached today. The social gospel that says if you're just kind to everybody, God's going to look down upon you and let you go to heaven. No, that's another gospel. That's not the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of gospels being preached today, but they're another gospel. You look out, you make sure you follow the truth of the gospel as preached in the Word of God, as preached clearly by Paul to the Christians in Galatia. So he was well received by the Galatians, but after Paul left, the Galatian Christians were influenced by some Judaizers who had legalism to their grace. And they said that faith in Christ was good, but not sufficient for salvation. now writes, book in Galatians chapter 2, verse 5, said, to whom we gave place by subjection, know not for an hour that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. He said, I preach the truth of the gospel, that that truth might continue in you. Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians to reaffirm the truth they had preached to them. Verse 14, he said, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? And Paul was getting here on Peter for listening to the Judaizers also. Don't listen to another. Look in verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? They should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He said, how foolish you could be. I preached the truth to you. Isn't it amazing? When people have the truth, they're always looking for something else. Isn't that something? Always looking for something else. All you need is the truth. That's all you need. Who's bewitched you? Say, well, we've added something to this. No, all you need is just the truth. Just the truth of the gospel. That's all you need. Don't be looking for something new. This same truth has been around since Jesus walked the face of the earth. It's been around since Adam was created. Same truth. And also all we need is just the old time religion. Same old truth that's always been preached. Don't need a new religion. Don't need a new gospel. You just need the same old one. The same one that God wrote, that God gave to us. And be careful lest we pervert the gospel. You know why there's so many perversions of the gospel today? Because the devil knows the truth of the gospel is what gets people to heaven. And he doesn't mind you being religion as long as you don't have the truth. He doesn't mind you going to church as long as you don't have the truth. He doesn't mind you having religion as long as you don't have the truth. Because it's the truth of the gospel that'll lead people to Jesus from hell to heaven. Paul said, I preach the truth unto you. And he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you have left the truth that I preached unto you? Chapter 4, verse 16. He said, and I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth. He said, I preach the truth unto you. Am I your enemy because I told you the truth? What we need is the truth today, the truth of the gospel. Chapter 5, verse 7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? He said, I preach the truth unto you. Who came along and hindered you from obeying the truth that was preached unto you? You don't need anything new. Just need the old gospel. The same old truth that's been preached by Paul. Same truth preached by Jeremiah, by Joshua, by Moses, by Timothy. Same old truth. The truth that Jesus preached and Jesus lived. That's the truth of the gospel. And so he preached the truth unto them. The key word in the book of Galatians is the word gospel. Gospel. It's so important. And when a person gets away from the truth of the gospel, that we get them back to the gospel. Away from the perversions of the gospel and back to the truth of the gospel. And that's what he's doing in the book of Galatians, saying it's very dangerous. You might get off on a couple other things, but when you get off on the gospel, that's dangerous because that'll cause people to go to hell. Don't get off on the gospel. And people get a false sense of security by this legalism of following their ritual, following their religion. Say, well, I've got religion, and they've got security in their religion. But it's a false sense of security, because that religion can't get them to heaven. But the gospel of Jesus Christ can. And it's very dangerous, these other gospels being preached, because people get a security in that gospel being preached. And they have a security of their eternal life. Now, the trouble is that security is based upon that religion and not based upon the Word of God. Very careful lest you follow a perversion of the gospel. For gospel is Jesus loved us, Jesus died for us, Jesus rose again, and that if we'll put our trust in Him, that God will save us. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And be very leery of any perversions of that gospel of Jesus. Then look in Galatians chapter 1, again verse 6, verse 7. The key word of the book is the word gospel. Paul was concerned about the fact that the truth of the gospel was being perverted by false teachers. Verse 7, he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And Paul was exhorting the Galatian Christians to continue in the truth of the gospel. Galatians chapter 2, verse 5, so that ye may continue. I preach the truth of the gospel. Continue ye in that truth. Galatians chapter 2, verse 5, continue in the truth of the gospel. I've divided the book of Galatians into three different groups. And each one of these, we found a key word for each of these three groups in the book of Galatians. And each one of these will shed light upon this word, gospel. Let's look at them very quickly. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 says, grace be to you. Verse 6 says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Verse 15 says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Chapter 2, verse 9 says, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. Then chapter 2, verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And that's something. If we can get saved any other way, other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then why did Jesus die? His death was in vain if you can get saved without trusting him. His death was in vain if we can get to heaven without making him our personal Savior. Without having a time in our life where we've humbled ourselves before God, trusted Jesus Christ our Savior, his death is in vain if you can get saved any other way. The key word in the first two chapters is the word grace. Grace. The purity of the gospel. It's only by God's grace that we can be saved. Not by our good works, not by how good we live, not by the church we attend, not by our baptism, not by communion, not by anything we've done, but it's by God's grace. Before a person can ever get saved, he's got to realize that he needs God's grace. It's through God's grace, the purity of the gospel, adding nothing to the gospel but the grace of God. Look in chapter 3 and verse 2. The second key word is this. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same of the children of Abraham. Verse 8, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We see it all the way through those next two chapters. Verse 11, verse 12, 14, verse 22, verse 23, verse 24, 25, 26. The key word is the word faith. Faith is the principle of the gospel. The purity of the gospel is the grace of God. The principle of the gospel is by faith. See, we must receive God's grace through faith. It is through faith that we receive God's grace unto salvation. See, God's grace is upon all, but those that receive God's grace are those that have put their trust in Jesus by faith. And through faith, we receive God's grace to be saved. To as many as received him, to them gave he power, become the sons of God, even to as many as believed on his name. Through faith, we receive grace of God unto salvation. And then look in chapter 5. Verse 6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Here's how we work our faith, by love. Love is the practice of the gospel. Verse 13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We need God's grace to get to heaven. That's appropriated by faith. And once we've received God's grace for eternal life by faith, then we ought to practice that faith by love. And as we live, by the way, before you will obey, you will have to love. If you love me, keep my commandments. And it's through love that we practice the gospel. Grace, that's the purity of the gospel. Add nothing to the grace of God unto salvation. Faith, what appropriates God's grace in our life that we may be saved. And once you've received the grace of God, it's through love that we practice the gospel. Look in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It's by love. So we ought to show our faith by how we love. That's the practice of the gospel. You can tell me all your faith you've got too. And Paul's saying here, show me your faith by how you love. Love is the practice of the gospel. So we see grace, the gospel in purity. Faith, that's how we receive God's grace. Love, that's how we practice the grace that we receive from God. Here's the theme of the book of Galatians. And it's very important. One of the most important doctrinal books of the Bible is the book of Galatians. Because if we get off on the gospel of Christ, what matters anything else? If you're off on salvation, what does everything else matter? Because without the salvation being correct, without the gospel being pure and right and according to God, what good is everything else? We need to make sure that we've got the gospel right. The gospels, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we individually must make him our personal Savior by receiving him through faith. And those that have received him by faith ought to live the gospel. And that's love. We ought to love others, love one another. And we ought to love Jesus, the one who died for us. That's the practice of the gospel. The theme of the book is this, the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. We must have the truth. And the truth, of course, is God's Word. And once we've found the truth of the gospel, like Galatians chapter 2, verse 5 says, continue ye, continue in that truth that we've learned. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, now I pray this Bible study this morning and help us to realize the importance of keeping the gospel pure as you've made it, lest we become legalizers and Judaizers of adding anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation. Help us to learn the purity of that gospel, to receive that gospel, and then to live that gospel in our lives. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.